the resurrected Christ in control, or are you still in control? Are you still the one running things?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Grace Christian Assembly, formerly Germantown Christian Assembly, in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Salvation is free. It is by God's mercy alone. But we learn from the first part of this message by Pastor Brian Grant that true discipleship is a different matter. True discipleship bears a cost that must be borne by that one willing to step out of the crowd and accept the challenge of becoming a true disciple, a true follower of his or her Savior, Jesus. Listen now as Pastor Grant brings the conclusion of his message, What Does It Really Mean to Be a Disciple of Jesus? Here again is Pastor Grant.
So let's try to grasp the meaning of how deep is this idea of denying by going to Peter's denial in Mark's Gospel chapter 14, verses 66 to 72. Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, You also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I neither know him nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. Boy, I wish wouldn't it be something? Suppose the Lord said every time we deny him, a rooster was going to crow. Can you imagine how many crowing roosters there would be? And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, This is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, Surely you are one of them, for you are a Christian, and your speech shows it. Then he began to curse. It just shows you how far we'll go as a Christian. He began to curse and swear, I do not know this man whom you are speaking about. A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him, Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And he went and thought about it and wept. Peter was so determined to make it clear he was not connected to Jesus. He cursed and swore as he said, I do not know this man of whom you speak. Can you imagine? After years of following Jesus, Peter denied him. And claimed, I do not even know this man. Aren't you glad we have such a forgiving God? You mean, even those of us who are denying him ourselves. When you read that passage, didn't it sort of, Peter, you ought to know better than that. Peter, you've been a man who has been following Jesus all around. And here you are, you're not only denying, you're cursing, you're carrying on. He ought to have known better. We probably ought to know better too. But as I read it this week, I was thanking God that he's such a forgiving God. Amen? For though Peter cursed and swore that he did not know Jesus, Jesus would give him a very prominent role in church history. What a forgiving God we have. Aren't you glad he's our God? Amen. Aren't you glad that he is our God? And listen, young person, older person, male or female, it doesn't matter who you are. Right now you may have been one of those who have been cursing and swearing and want everybody to know, I don't know this Jesus because I want to hang with the boys. If you are willing this morning to make a turn, what an amazing thing God can do and will do in your life if you decide to say, I'm going to follow Jesus. Enough of my half-stepping. Enough of my half-hearted living. Today I'm going to surrender all to Jesus. And what an amazing thing it would do. So what can we learn from the Greek word used in Mark's Gospel chapter 14? Where the Mark's 14, this text that talks about Peter's denying. The Greek word used for deny in Mark 14 highlighted how determined Peter was to disassociate himself from Jesus. And similarly, we must be just as determined to disassociate ourselves from our sinful nature. The truth is, that's what we should be determined to do, to disassociate ourselves from our sinful nature. Jesus wants us to deny ourselves. Let me just make sure you didn't miss that. The word used for deny showed how determined Peter was not to be known as a disciple. And what God wants to use when he now uses the same word for us as disciples, he's saying we must have the same determination to let everybody know we're done with the sinful world, but we're all for Jesus. I am denying myself. I'm denying my old way of life. Amen. And I am powerfully, strongly determined that I'm done with that old way. Because I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Amen. Jesus wants us to deny selves. He wants me to behave. Listen, he wants me to behave as if the old Brian Grant is gone. For the old Brian Grant was crucified with Jesus. Amen. I am crucified with Christ. Do you recognize? Listen, you can put your name in there the moment you come to Jesus. That old person is gone. And we need to recognize, I am crucified with Christ. Hold your finger in Mark. But let's jump over to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. And if you don't have this written in your, noted in your Bible, you need to note it in your Bible today. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. If this is not underlined, this is a great verse to underline. Galatians 2, 20. What? How does it read? Read it with me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My friend, is that true of you? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Young person, make this one of your verses. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is the resurrected Christ in control of your life? Come on now. Is the resurrected Christ in control, or are you still in control? Are you still the one running things? We cannot overemphasize this. For what really worries Satan is not that we said the sinner's prayer. Oh, if we would only recognize this. What worries Satan is not when we said the sinner's prayer. Some of you recently said the sinner's prayer, and we thank God that the journey began. But what is really terrifies Satan is not when you say the sinner's prayer. What scares Satan is when we allow the resurrected Christ to control our life. And young person, and older one, the resurrected Christ, Jesus, wants to control your life. He wants to control my life. And there is no better thing, young person, to do with your life than to let Jesus be the controller. Let him be the Lord. Listen, he is Lord whether you want to acknowledge him or not. Little song says, Lord of all, Lord of, or not Lord at all. If Jesus, listen, you cannot have it both ways. You cannot claim that Jesus is Lord while you're doing your own thing. If you do that, you are lying to yourself. Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. So this morning, God wants to ask each of us that question. Am I your Lord? Are you willing to submit to my Lordship? And I pray to God, thank you very much. I pray that this morning you will make that decision that I will acknowledge Jesus. I will submit to the Lordship of Jesus. That instead of my trying to be the big honcho, thinking I know so much, that I will say, oh God, you know all things. And I thank you that you saved me. And today I submit to your Lordship. Amen. In 1495, the great sculptor Michelangelo, some of you know Michelangelo was both a painter and a sculptor. He was other things too. He saw a piece of marble. Michelangelo saw a piece of marble, and as he looked at the rough marble, he was able to see in the marble, just this block of marble. He was able to look at this marble, and he was able to see an angel holding a candelabra. Do you understand what I'm saying? Some of these great artists, they can look at this rough work, and they can see what it could become. And Michelangelo looked at this rough block of marble, and he saw an angel holding a candelabra. That thing is now worth tens of millions of dollars. They asked him, how did he create such a beautiful work of art from such a crude slab of marble? Michelangelo said, I was able to see the angel in the marble, and I carved it until I set the angel free. You got it? You got it? I saw him in the marble, and I kept carving and getting rid of all the other stuff, that the only thing was left was the angel that was in the marble. There's some angels in some blocks of marble. Some of us, God has such a big plan for us, but we will never recognize God's plan unless we say, God, here am I. Do your work. Do your work. You see, no matter how messed up your past may have been, always remember that when God looks at our life, He doesn't just see what we are right now. He sees what he will make us to be as we totally yield to his control. Let me say that again. No matter how messed up your past may have been, always remember that when God looks at our lives, he doesn't just see what we are right now. He sees what he will make us to be as we yield totally to his control. Our biggest mistake, young person, our biggest mistake is to figure, I have the best plan for me. I'm going to encourage you today to yield to the control of God. Write this in your notes. Denying self means surrendering our will to Christ and committing to obeying his will. Amen? Denying self means surrendering our will to Christ and committing ourselves that we will obey his will. For as a disciple of Jesus, I must renounce my right to run my own life. Perhaps this Tuesday when we have testimony time, some of us can share testimonies as to what God has done. I can tell you, you've heard my testimony over and over again as to what God has done when I decided to submit my life to him. And God will change your life. He will totally transform your life if you say, God, here's my life. Here's the next thing I want to point out as we talk about the essentials of disciple essentials. At this, number one, a disciple of Jesus must be willing to deny himself or herself. But put this down. A disciple of Jesus must be willing to take up their cross and follow him. Amen? And so in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 34, the Lord says some words that we all, most of us know. Mark 8, 34. When he had called the disciples to himself with his, the people to himself with the disciples, he said to them, "Whosoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Listen, this is not optional. We sometimes live as if this is optional. It is not. This idea, we evangelicals, unfortunately, and as a preacher of the gospel, sometimes I admit that sometimes if we're not careful, we give people the impression that once you say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, that's all God wants. No, God wants much more. God wants total commitment. Whoever desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You probably heard the story, and I'm sure I've told this story before, about the chicken and the pig who went for a stroll one morning. And when it was time for breakfast, the pig asked, "What are we having for breakfast?" You remember the story? And the chicken said, "Let's have what?" The chicken said, "Let's have ham and eggs." And the pig said, "Definitely not ham." So the chicken was a little, couldn't quite understand, "Why not ham?" The chicken said, "I can provide the eggs. All you got to do is provide the ham." The pig said, "Leave me out. For if you provided eggs, that would only require a contribution. But if I am to provide ham, it would require my total commitment." And my friend, that's what the Lord is asking for. He's asking for our total commitment. In my early teens, being a Christian was definitely not about commitment. So although I often heard messages about being a disciple of Jesus, I wasn't very interested. For at that time, my primary interest in being a Christian was to get fire insurance. And I think there was, I don't want to do the survey, but there's probably some others here. You know what I'm saying? There are others who are trying to get a fire insurance policy. Well, I came to Jesus just to get fire insurance. I want to make sure I don't burn in hell. But what a mistake that was, amen? I figured that one day I'd probably advance to level 2 and become a disciple of Jesus. Thank God I soon realized that the Christian life does not have 2 tracks. There's not an easy track for those who just want to be saved, and a tougher track for those desiring to be disciples of Jesus. And I'm going to assure you that if you decide to stay where you are going to be one of the world's greatest losers. For every Christian is a disciple, and we all must be ready and willing to take up the cross. First, the importance of discipleship. Second, the essentials of discipleship. And third, as we bring it to an end, the motivation for discipleship. The motivation for discipleship. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 35, tells us, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." In these verses, Jesus asks a question that has resonated through history. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Have you ever reflected on that verse? If you haven't reflected, I hope the Spirit of God will drive it home in your heart today. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will it profit a young lady, a woman, if she gains the whole world and loses her eternal soul? No matter how successful or wealthy you are or you may become, if you miss heaven, you'll be among the world's biggest losers. Amen. For those who miss heaven will not miss the lake of fire and brimstone that will never be quenched. But although these verses are often applied to the unsaved, stay with me now. In these verses I just read, Jesus was actually targeting born-again Christians. For some of us are more focused on the things of the world than on serving God. So Jesus asked a very pointed question. What will it profit a person if they gain of a whole world and lose their soul? What will it profit you? Yes, you may get to heaven, but what will it profit you if you lose the thing that is most important? No matter how successful or wealthy you are, if you miss heaven, you'll be one of the world's biggest losers. I repeat that again. Listen, Jesus was warning us that it's possible for a Christian to gain all the wealth and success the world has to offer, but stand empty-handed before God. Just imagine that. Christian friend, listen, I'm closing. Every believer in Jesus Christ will one day stand before God. And he's not going to be concerned about all the success you had in this world. What he's concerned about: what type of disciple were you? Were you the disciple who honored me? Were you the disciple who were fully committed to me? That's going to be the question. And it is my prayer this morning that as we bring this message to a close, every one of us who are born again believers will make a commitment. Oh God, I was sort of banking on just being a Christian and coasting to heaven. But today, I surrender all. All to you I surrender. God, I want to serve you with all I have. Let me close with a quote from Dr. Warren Wiersbe that's in your notes. Discipleship is a matter of profit and loss, a question of whether we will waste our lives or invest our lives. Did you get that? God has given all of us resources. Sadly, some of us are enjoying them and wasting them. And the question God asks, will you invest it? Disciples invest their life and their resources to God because their objective is to please him. I am a disciple of Jesus and determined to make a difference for him. And I pray God will work in our hearts that we may be determined to be his disciples.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.